Can we say another thank you to our worship team this morning for instituting us into worship? Thank you, Bo. Thank you, guys. Isn't it awesome that we come together and we're able to join together as the body of Christ, as a faith family, just to be able to say, God, bless the Lord. God, we just want to bless your name for who you are and all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we join together in that faithfully. We join together with that celebrating. Sometimes we join together with that in expectation, maybe even in the midst of struggle. But God is here, and his Spirit is here. And we join together in that through baptism, through prayer. Now we get the opportunity to do that in the opening of God's word. Well, I just want to say good morning. My name is Andrew Grissom. I serve as one of the pastors on staff here at Christ Church. And whether you're joining with us online, you're joining with us in person, let me just be another person to tell you hello. And just want to say that I'm glad you're here. We're glad that you're here, that this is a faith family. We join together and worship God for who he is. We don't join together because we have it all figured out. We know all the answers, but we know and we worship the one who does. We worship the one who does. So I'm going to join in prayer before we open up God's word, but I just want you to take a deep breath. And let's really dive into what God has in store, because I believe he's got something in store. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Let's pray together. Oh God, all of this worship, all of this prayer, all of this time together, all of this baptism, it's all to make much of your name. It's all to give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you so richly deserve. God, so would you take it in? God, would you receive it, God? And as we come together to join and sit in your presence, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see what you have to say to us? But not just that, would you give us the energy and the confidence to run after that with everything, God? Not out of sometimes in the midst of this world, God, we want to just put ourselves up first. But we know, God, apart from you, we have nothing. We have nothing. So open our ears, open our hearts this morning. And God, I pray more of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we join together, it's such a joy to be with you. I'm so glad, and because I hope over the last several weeks, I've just been so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share God's word with you. I don't come as someone who has it all figured out. I come to you as someone who's a sinner saved by grace, who's trying to seek after the Lord, just trying to seek after who he is, and I pray that we could do that together as a faith family. But as we start out this morning, I want to start with a question. Have you ever been in timeout growing up? You ever been in timeout? I know some of you are like, oh yeah, that was me. Some of you are just kind of looking around, hoping no one looks. But we've all been at that place in our life, or maybe we've had to put someone in timeout before, right? Maybe you broke something that your parents really liked, or maybe your parents asked you to do something and you didn't want to do it, and so you told them the most dangerous word that can get you in trouble. No. And man, I always knew when I was in trouble, or one of my siblings was in trouble, when my mom would use our whole name. Andrew Nicholas Grissom, Robert Ryan Grissom. And when you heard that being yelled around the house, the other siblings knew it was high time to find something else to do. Or you might hear other parents who are mad at their kids send them to timeout and say, you need to think about what you've done. You need to think about what you've done. Well, this morning, as we continue in our flip side series, what we're getting the opportunity to do is look at the prophet Jonah. And Jonah was a prophet of the Lord who was given a word to go to the city of Nineveh, which was an evil city and one that he was scared to go to. So what did he do? What did he do? He literally turned and booked it the opposite direction to Tarshish. Well, God obviously found him in the boat and made the weather terrible until the members of the boat had no other option but to throw Jonah into the water. And they were blown away. They were blown away that when they threw Jonah into the water, everything became calm. The weather and everything went from being crazy with wind and thunder and lightning, but then Jonah got thrown into the water and it was calm. But in the midst of this, it doesn't just end in that. If you've heard this story before, there was a big fish that showed up and consumed Jonah. Consumed Jonah in the midst of this. And Jonah, in the midst of his life, was put in a timeout. Anybody been placed in timeout in the belly of a fish? Just taking a straw poll here before we get started. I don't think many people have experienced that before. But in the midst of this, Jonah was placed in the midst of timeout, and he had to deal with his feelings and his response to the call that God had placed on his life. And so often in the midst of the calling that God has placed on my life and your life, we sometimes have a really great attitude about it, and sometimes we have a not so great attitude about it. And as Jonah is eaten by the whale, he's not given an option. He's not given an option but to deal with what was going on. To deal with his emotions, to deal with his attitude, and to deal with the calling that God had placed on him. And we have to often, when dealing with the ups and downs that life throws our way, look at the attitude we have and the calling that God has placed in our life and see where they intersect, and see where they intersect. You see, God has given each one of us a truth and calls us to live into it. How do we have an attitude to reflect God's truth in our life, his calling in our life? That's my question to you this morning. You see, Jonah's prayer, what we're going to be looking at, we're going to be in Jonah this morning. It's in the Old Testament. And as we do this, Jonah's prayer deals, and we're going to be looking at the way he's praying to God in the midst of this fish. He's in the belly of the fish. He's in timeout. He's in his waiting period. And he begins to pray to the Lord. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, however you're experiencing scripture this morning, would you look at Jonah chapter 2? We're going to be starting in verse 1. Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And we're going to be joining together in the reading of God's word. And I'd ask, out of reverence, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. This is Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and we're going to be going to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol. You heard my voice. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. But I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The water engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. Then you raised my life from the pit. Lord, my God, as my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cherish worthless idols abandon their faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed, for salvation belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And we say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. You may be seated. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful word as we experience the story of Jonah. As we experience the story of Jonah and the process of being in timeout that he goes through. And being stuck in the belly of the fish, having to deal with his emotions, deal with his attitude. And as he's sitting there, this is the prayer that he has to God. And we're going to break it down in just a little bit. But if you don't hear any word I say today, I believe this is exactly what God is calling. When you look at this scripture and we look at the flip side, both sides of who Jonah was, I believe this is what God is trying to tell us this morning. God wants us to respond to his calling, not out of our own desires, but out of faithfulness. God wants us to respond to his calling, not out of our desires, but out of faithfulness. Faithfulness to who he is. Faithfulness to the things that he has done. Faithfulness to the way he's moving in your life right now. Faithfulness to the what he's going to do in the midst of that. And he says in the midst of this, sometimes we have our own desires that we have in the way that we want to carry out God's will on our own terms. But God's calling us to say, God, I don't have it all together, but I know you do. So as we look at this scripture, what's going on here? You see, Jonah's a prophet of the Lord, but did not have a good relationship with the Ninevites. Out of insecurity, out of fear, out of concern, thinking one way or another, Jonah, instead of making the decision to follow God's call to go to Nineveh, what does he do? He actually turns the opposite direction and runs to Tarshish. He runs to Tarshish. And what ends up happening is, as Jonah experiences, as we talked about a little bit earlier, this terrible storm and a big fish, he was placed in this space where he had no option but to deal with the struggle that he was dealing with. He had to deal with his own conclusions that he had made, addressing the notions of what he thought he should do versus what God's will was for him. So often we deal with the same issue, right? What we want to do and what we think we should do versus what God's will is for us. And sometimes dealing with, do we run in that direction or do we run in the opposite direction as well? But man, in the midst of this, if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes we want to be faithful, but it's faithfulness on our own terms. It's faithfulness on our own terms. God, I will be faithful to you, but please, will you give me that new job at work, and then I'll be faithful, and the perks of all of it, that corner office. God, I will promise to follow you after everything slows down, and I promise I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. You see, what we see in the flip side of Jonah is that he desired to follow God out of the root of his own desires instead of desiring to be fully faithful to the calling that God had placed on his life. He had to end up in the belly of a large fish to come to a place of dealing with all those emotions. And so as the reality of this hits Jonah, there's really three things that Jonah does as he prays to the Lord in this chapter. He's at the end of his rope. He is running, and there are three truths that come out as he is praying to the Lord. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and you're like, I've been running. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't really know what to do. Lord, will you lead me? Well, maybe God is speaking to you right now. I pray we would be available. Maybe you're struggling with relationships with your job, something that may have happened in the past, or maybe you're trying to discern what you should do next. I pray you would hear this word that Jonah has for us. And so the first thing that we see here this morning is this. This is, if you look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2, we see the first thing that Jonah did was seek God's help and accept accountability. Look with me in verses 2 and 3. I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help from deep inside Sheol, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. I love that. I love these other verses here. This is Psalm 139, 1 through 10. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your parents' presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. You see, at the end of the line, when everything was done, when he had nowhere to go, when Jonah had nowhere else to go, he heard God's will and he ran. He had to face what his real feelings were, what his real fears were. And so often when we are dealing with God's calling in our life and we face it, there's an element of it that can be scary sometimes. It can be scary. And so often, sometimes when we deal with that, when we see the reality of it, we sometimes revert to other things, whether that's food, whether that's addiction, or whether that's just running because we don't want to face the reality of our thoughts. The reality of our thoughts. But we see in these two verses, what do we see? And Jonah shows and he shares that in his distress, what does Jonah acknowledge? Jonah called and the Lord answered. He also recognizes the reality of what forced him to get into this place in verse 3. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the sea, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and billows swept over me. He realized what? Hey, I had to get into this place to realize what was really going on and to deal with the reality of our notion and the reality of where he was and where God was moving. You see, the reality of when we spend so much time desiring and seeking our own desires, sometimes what we end up doing, whether knowingly or unknowingly, is prioritizing our will over God's will. And so has Jonah run and come to the end of himself in the midst of this scripture? Yes. Does this mean he's perfect after he prays to the Lord? No, we're going to get back to that. But you see, by calling out to God for help and by experiencing and accepting the accountability that the Lord is giving him, he is openly reprioritizing the will he is desiring. What is he saying? He's saying, God, I have been prioritizing my will. Apart from your will, I have nothing. Will you come in and will you lead me? Will you come and be my Savior, be my God? I decide to no longer say in the midst of my will being first, it's your will. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Will you meet me once again? I love what Corrie Ten Boom says. She says, there are no ifs in God's world, and there are no places that are safer than other places. The center of his will is our only safety. Let us pray we would always know it. Let us pray we would always know it. You see, as Jonah comes to the end of himself, what he is sharing with the Lord is the realization that Jonah, my will not be enough. That's what he's saying. God, I realize that my will not be enough here. I have come to the end of myself and it's not enough. What he's sharing with the Lord is the realization that Jonah's will won't be enough and the need of God. The need of God in his presence in his life. You see, part of seeking accountability and removing our desires and exchanging them for faithfulness is to be reminded of God's power and the love that he has for you and me. Right now, it's not a theoretical idea. The God of the universe, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who created the rain that's going out on outside, loves you for who you are, not the person you're trying to be. He loves you. He loves you. Man, you see, does Jonah remain perfect after all this? No, he still messes up. But the help and accountability Jonah seeks recognizes, just as Psalm 139 says, that we can go and we can run and we can have our will and we can do our things, but we cannot escape the God of the universe who seeks and desires to know us and be with us. He's always seeking. He's always with us. The question is, will we recognize who God is and who we are and know the difference? Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. The question is, will we recognize who God is, who we are, and know the difference? And know the difference. Second thing we see here is this. Jonah trusted God's faithfulness. The second thing Jonah did was trust God's faithfulness. Look at verses 4-7 with me. He says, but I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The water engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth's gates shut behind me forever. Then you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. As my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. So at the end of the road, what do we see? I have been banished, but I will look towards your temple. Verse 5, the waters overcame me, but yet as the earth said he has done, you raised me from the pit. I remember the Lord because when my prayer went up, you heard me. You heard me. You see, before Jonah was ready to respond in faithfulness, he realized at his end that when the road was done and everything looked like there was no hope, and when his own desires almost took him to the end, ready for this? God was not done with him yet. God was not done with him yet. God was not done with him yet. man. You see, before we could be faithful, God has already shown that he is the faithful one. He is the mighty one. He is the originator of faithfulness. Man, you see, we can be faithful because he is the definition of what faithfulness is. That's who God is. So you and I can come together and be loyal, be constant, be true to who God is. Why? Because God is the originator of faithfulness. He is the originator. He is the model. Jonah had been a prophet of the Lord. He had sought to share the truth, but when his will and his desires intersected with God's will, what did they do? They butt heads. Anybody ever been there before, if we're really honest with one another? The beautiful thing of when we are forced to do nothing more than to just sit in God's presence is he shows us who he is. He shows us who he is. He's telling Jonah not to do anything more than be an imitator of the name above all names. You see, faithfulness is the act of being loyal, being constant, being steadfast, being reliable. We can trust who God says he is. That's really the reality. You hear that definition. But at the end of the day, faithfulness is trusting that when God says something, he will do it, because that's who he is. That's who he is. And I think about in the midst of my time in calling a ministry in Mexico just a few years ago, I was so nervous when I was experiencing my call to ministry because I was a planner. I wanted to have my life and my next six steps figured out, and then to be able to step into those steps with comfort and with ease. And what God was showing me in the midst of that moment is that in the midst of that time, the word that God gave me for that day is faithfulness is not knowing the plans that you are stepping into and stepping into them with comfort. It's trusting that the one who creates those plans is for you, and he walks with you. He called me to trust that the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine has got me covered. And so just as God has shared that with me, I'm here to share that with you. Maybe you're in the middle of a season of transition. Maybe you're in the midst of struggle with your job. Maybe you're in the midst of trying to make a decision with your family, with some struggle, with things that may be going on in the midst of this. When we don't try and figure out, when we say, God, will you take over? I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all together, but I know you are the source of all things that are true. I trust you. Will you lead me? Will you lead me? We'll be amazed and see what he can do for us. You see, before we can submit to a faithful life, we have to recognize the originator of faithfulness. That's God. It's God himself. The third and final thing we did, and as we prepare to close, is this. Jonah submitted to God's will. He submitted to God's will. What do we see in verses 8 through 10? He recognizes the struggles that were going on in Nineveh. He commits to the will of God and to fulfill the call that has been placed on his life. And what's the last part of verse 9? You see that? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Man, he's not only recommitting to the will that God has placed on his life, but the will that God has promised him and promised you and I today as well. When God brings us to the end of ourselves, sometimes the only thing that we can do is hold our hands up and say, God, I don't have it all together. I'm beat, I'm bruised, and I need you. Does that mean Jonah was perfect? No. There's a whole nother story a couple chapters later where he gets mad at God because he goes to Nineveh, and then he goes up to the top of the mountain. He said, okay, God, it's time for them to get what they deserve. And guess what happened? Everything was all good. Nothing happened, and he had to deal with that. But there's joy in knowing in the midst of this time that you and I are in process. You and I are in process. We don't have it all together, but we know who does. But I think in the midst of this time, I love what Beth Moore says. She says this: nobody appreciates deliverance like those who've nearly been destroyed. If you've been in that place in your life where you're like, hey, I've been almost to the end of it. I've been angry, I've been mad, I've not had the answers. I have said, I have done some things that I really regret, that are wrong. Will God really speak to me? And what does he say? He says, hey, I don't want you to have it all figured out. I don't need you to have it all figured out. What I need you to do is hold your hands open and say, God, I trust and submit to your will. I don't have it all together. I don't have all the knowledge, but I desire to be faithful. Would you use me? And sometimes those who have been nearly destroyed, that's the hardest to do sometimes. But when we place our yes on the table, we can watch and see how the strong and mighty Creator God moves in the mightiest of ways. So I'm going to pray this morning, and I'd ask that you'd respond, and Bo's going to give just a quick word and encouragement through song. But would you respond? What is something going on in your life? Where is a place maybe in your own desires that you have been wrestling with the will that God has placed on your life? And where is an opportunity right now in your job and your work and your home where you can put your hands up and say, God, I don't have it all together. I'm scared. But I trust you as the originator of faithfulness, and I will submit to your will. May we do that this morning. Oh God, you are the mightiest of men. You're the mightiest of gods. There is none like you. All the earth, we can look around. There is nothing on this earth like you. And God, we pray, even in process, even when we mess it up, even when we don't have it together, Lord, in the midst of the scariest moments of our life, we say, God, that you are great, and we trust you. God, it may not be in excitement, it may be in fear, it may be in tears, but God, I pray for that person who feels like they're in the midst of the belly right now. Would you give them open hands and open hearts? And would you move and see, and help them to see what a strong and mighty Creator God you are? Hear us as we respond. We ask in your name. Amen.